Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here and maybe even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can listen to past programs. You can read some of the articles that I have that are written there. They're written there. They're posted there. I wrote them elsewhere and then posted them there. I guess that's a better way to put it. But there's a variety of articles, variety of topics, and you can also link some of our social media sites there, all at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, as I said, you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I am. I'm the pastor, and we'd love to have you visit us out there sometime. If you can't make it in person, you can find us online during our services or our Friday night Bible study at rumble.com. If you go to rumble.com and in the search bar, just put in Richfield BBC, and you should be able to find us pretty quick. And then you can watch. We have a Bible study every Friday night. It runs from 7 to 9. It's an informal Bible study where you bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on the radio here. In fact, the radio grew out of that Bible study, and we'll have been on the radio this August, I think, about 20 years. We're coming up on 20 years now. And so the Bible study's been going on, obviously, then longer than 20 years. And we never run out of things to talk about because there's always so many things happening, and there's always so much in the Word of God. The Word of God's inexhaustible. And the moment somebody tells you that they've completely figured out the entire book and they've got nothing more to figure out in it, I'd be a bit leery of that person. Because we should always be learning. There's always something that we're going to find out, something that maybe we didn't understand fully before, and God opens our eyes to it, and so it's always an adventure, and we certainly enjoy doing that. We'd love to have you come. And then, of course, on our Sunday services in the 11 o'clock hour, I'm currently preaching through the book of James, and then in the 6 o'clock hour in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening, I'm currently preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we'd love to have you visit. Or if you can't make it in person, check us out online, rumble.com, and just simply search for Richfield BBC in the search bar there for Richfield Bible Baptist Church. All right, we're going to get back to our program, back to our callers here. Again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Jim and Mayfield calling us tonight. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Al. Thanks very much for your show.
Oh, thank you.
Me a lot.
Thank you.
You've helped me through a lot of stuff. I called you a few years ago after my father passed away, and you really helped guide me through some difficult times, and I really appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And in regards to the woman that just called regarding Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
I have Brett Baer's new book, To Rescue the American Spirit, and she needs to read that. It's a very informative book on what he did.
What's the name of the book again?
It is To Rescue the American Spirit, Teddy Roosevelt and the Birth of a Superpower by Brett Baer with Catherine Whitney. It's a fantastic book.
Yeah, I looked that myself.
Okay. Great. And the main reason I was wanted to speak with you is with the Somalis up in Montana.
Minnesota, yeah.
We want these blackout areas in Minnesota. And how can we truly battle that without having the federal authorities go in, because this is not us. This should not be occurring here. We need to take control of our own areas. That's why we have, I believe, the First and Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to start to take control of things, not to state that we need to have people go out and do how do I put this?
In a sense, we shouldn't have to have the federal government come in and do it. Maybe a way of putting it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's a complex thing, and if I could, I could maybe address a couple of things with that. One is, and you know, I look at what's going on, and in regards to the fraud and everything, for instance, that they're uncovering, and get into what you're saying there, right. But just let me throw this out for a second.
Please.
You can't bring in, you know, thousands of uneducated people from a really pretty backward third world country, which Somalia is. I mean, it doesn't sound politically correct to put it that way, but it is. And at the time they came, it was even in worse condition probably than it is now, when many of these came. And you can't bring these uneducated people from a third world country over here and have them all of a sudden engaging successfully for years in multi-billion, that's billion with a B, billion-dollar fraud schemes on their own. Somebody in this country is helping them out, and that's the reason that Governor Walz, I believe, has canceled his run for governor, his re-election campaign, because I think there's people in this country, and not just in Minnesota. We've got a strong Somali community here that our own governor has said, nothing to see there. Don't go looking at them. You know, there might have been $500 million in fraud, but that's just the cost of doing business, you know. And so, you know, there's a lot of spiritual rot that's going on. And the Bible says people love darkness because their deeds are evil. So they want to keep these things covered up. Now, you've got in Minnesota, you've got the governor and you've got the mayor there in Minneapolis telling the state police and the local law enforcement to not get involved, not to help, not to pick up these illegals and all of that. And see, these are all problems that's exacerbating the situation there. Right. One thing that happens, President Trump just said that the Somalis that are here on a temporary, it was a temporary, what do we call it? I'm sorry?
Work visa?
No, not work visa. It was a temporary thing, asylum sort. Not quite asylum, but you were here temporarily because of unrest back home. He said, hey, the unrest in Somalia isn't what it used to be. Your temporary things are now revoked. You've got to be heading back to Somalia. You got to go home. And I think he gave them like until the middle of February or March to leave. And so that's a good start. So, you know, our government from the local through the state through the federal levels all need to be involved, because some of these people are engaged in criminal activities, everything from fraud to rape to murder to kidnapping, all sorts of things, theft and things. And it's a threat to American citizens. If they're here on a temporary status, they're guests. Would you want a guest in your house that breaks all the windows and plates and dishes and you know, kicks your cat and attacks your kids? No, you'd get them out of there, wouldn't you?
Oh, that's an understatement.
Yeah, and yet that's what we're doing with these people. And you got these anti-ICE protesters up there saying, you know, they're coming into our communities wearing masks and kidnapping American citizens. No, they're not doing that.
No, they're not.
They're going in and picking up illegal aliens who were not American citizens. They're picking up people who are citizens of another country who have committed crimes. And right. and they're not even just merely going from the ones who've committed immigration crimes. They're going for the ones who are guilty of rape and murder and assault and theft and things like that. They're going for the violent criminals first. And then if they're in an area and they find others, they take them as well. So they're not going after and kidnapping American citizens. They're taking people who don't belong here and getting them out of here. And after all, what country pays people to leave? We're paying people to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
And but, you know, so... go ahead.
I'm sorry. Please, go ahead.
No, I'd say go ahead.
Well, then you have Fatah, or whatever his name is, asking for blackout zones to be established.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm sorry. You want to have blackout zones? I'll be more than happy to go in there with a group of my friends and, hey, we'll be a militia. We'll go and get you guys out of there.
Well,
I mean, this cannot happen in our country.
Do you remember happened? Do you remember an incident a couple of years ago? Because in certain parts of Minneapolis, St. Paul area, they actually have like a Somali police force, because there are areas in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area where the regular police cannot go. It's not safe for them, even first responders, rescue paramedics, ambulance can't go, firemen can't go. And so they've got these Somali police. And a couple of years ago, this was during the Biden administration, there was a woman who was killed by one of these Somali police officers. Did you see protests all over the city over the fact that a Somali police officer killed an innocent woman?
Of course not.
No. So now you have ICE agents who were federal law enforcement officers trying to carry out their mandated duties and doing it legally. And somebody tries to run down one of the officers and he, you know, ends up killing her. You would think the world's coming to an end up there.
Right, he has internal injuries.
Yeah, internal injury. I mean, and think about it. The guy had just been dragged by another protester's car, 6 months earlier or something.
Correct.
And so he knows the danger. I mean, and it's icy. He could have just as easily slipped trying to avoid her and went under her wheels. He could have had his belt get hooked on the bumper or something and then dragged and pulled under the car that way. Any number of things could have happened. You know, if you don't think that in a car, that's not a lethal weapon. And when you point it at somebody, it's no different than pointing a gun at somebody. You're pointing a lethal weapon at somebody.
And 4,500.
Oh. Yeah, and she's laughing like it's a hilarious thing to do, and her partner's egging her on.
Right.
I think I might have said this earlier, but when there's a video out there that I saw that somebody pointed out that when her partner realized that the woman had been shot, she could be heard saying something to the crying something to the effect of, "Why did you have real bullets?"
Right. Yeah, I heard you state that.
Yeah, and see what's happening during the Cold War, they had a term called useful idiots. And these were people that the communists would convince to do things. And they would convince them that, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. I mean, you'll be a hero if you do this. This is the right thing to do. And they called them idiots because these people didn't know better. And they would be talked into doing things, spying, stealing, you know, nation secrets or fomenting, you know, the communist plans and things like that. And didn't fully understand that they might have been some of the first ones to go to the gulags if the communists ever took over. So they call them useful idiots. Well, that's what these two women are. They're useful idiots. Well, because they were set up to go out there to do these things. And I still think there's people who are glad we got us a martyr now.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. And my what I state on that is, you shall idiots, I say there's no fixing stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And because I mean,
if you're ignorant enough to follow this stuff, you're stupid.
Yeah. It's sad that somebody lost their life, but, you know, she should have known better.
Right.
She's not like a little a teenager. This is a grown woman.
Right. How about critical thinking?
Yes. This is an educated grown woman. She should have known you don't point your car at something and try and run somebody over, even if you're just joking. You know, what's the first thing you learn? One of the first things you learn about gun safety, never point your weapon at something you don't intend to shoot, right?
Exactly. Even if it's empty.
Yes. So the same thing applies to the car. Correct. Don't pretend you're going to run somebody down unless you really mean to do it. You know,
right.
I mean, are there times where you might have to? Sure, if you were stuck with a mob of people trying to break into the car to pull you out, you know, assault you, and you're fearing for your life, I mean, I'm not going to go pull a gun on just anybody that looks at me strange, but if somebody, you know, was threatening me and I was fearing for my life or the life of somebody that was with me, sure. And if you pull the gun, you know, hopefully that's enough to dissuade them, but you need to be prepared to use it. Otherwise, why do you have it? And, right. You know, so if she's pointing the car, the law enforcement officer has to assume she, you know, it would be no different than if she'd have pulled a gun and pointed it at him. What would he have thought then?
Right.
So she was threatening him with a lethal weapon, and he responded.
But the news doesn't want to see that.
No. No.
The drive-by media does not want to care about any of the true facts. They just want to care about clicks.
As they say, my mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Exactly.
So, well, we need to pray for our country, and we certainly need to pray for President Trump and for those that are trying to do the right thing. That's why I started out the program tonight talking about that church that was invaded up in Minneapolis today, because they're threatening to do that across the country. They're trying to intimidate people to not stand up for ICE and law enforcement and for basically for America, and they're trying to encourage people to attack. That's what they're trying to do.
My church, there's going to be a big problem.
Well, you know, there's a commercial out there. We were talking about it at church tonight. It's a commercial for Glocks, and it's you know, a diner where this guy goes in with a shotgun like he's going to rob the diner. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he stumbles, and when he stumbles, when he comes up, everybody in the diner comes up and has got a gun. Of course, it's a Glock commercial. They're all Glocks pointing at him. And he sees what's happening, and he slowly sets his shotgun down. And I'm trying to think of the name of the actor. I got a name that's in my head, but it's the wrong name. I know it's the wrong name. He did the Marine sergeant in a movie one time, and most people would know him, but he's behind the counter as like the cook or whatever. And when they're handcuffing the guy, the sign pulls back because it says law enforcement convention, you know. And the guy looks at the camera and says, "Looks like he picked the wrong diner." it's a great commercial. You could probably find it if you just go on and say Glock diner commercial. You'll probably find it, but it's funny, but there are some churches like that.
Well, and the one thing, have you ever looked at Byrna, BYRNA? It's advertised on,
it's a less lethal.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Self-defense.
Okay, yeah.
Like it shoots pepper balls.
Yeah,
or,
I've seen. Yes. There's actually been a billboard that I saw that had that. Yeah, now I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
And tear gas and all that. Yeah. I have few.
Have you used it?
Yes.
Like on a friend or?
No. No. Just in practice and all, but it works very well.
Yeah, I just actually just went to their website.
Did you accidentally hit yourself or something?
No, I have some targets and all this stuff, but the cloud it disperses.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it states. So it's I highly recommend that. Just look into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
powered.
Yeah, there's a nice website, but I remember actually an area where I drive for a while had a billboard up for them, and yes. I've seen some of the ads online. It just wasn't clicking when you first said it, but yeah, thanks, Kenny. And when you said that too, then all of a sudden it hit me. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting, and the reason that we have the Second Amendment, as they say, is to protect the rest of the Constitution, to protect the First Amendment. And Don Lemon was trying to imply, he was outright saying that the protesters were exercising their First Amendment rights, and they weren't. They were depriving the people in the church of the privilege of exercising their First Amendment rights.
Exactly. Their First Amendment rights were in there to pray.
Exactly.
They came in to stop them from doing that.
Exactly.
Then my amendment right is to get those idiots out of there to make sure our amendment rights are held.
Exactly. And that's why I would strongly suggest that any pastors, any deacons, anybody that's on like a church security team, go and watch the extended video where you can see the planning that, you know, I hate to sound like I'm recommending that you follow what Don Lemon did, but see how they planned this in advance and then how they went in and how they carried it out so that you can see what's going through the mind of people who would try to disrupt your service. It's not enough to just say, what should I do to make this place safer? No. You got to go out and think like the criminal. And yes, I said criminal because that's what these people were doing, a criminal act.
Exactly.
And you got to think.
Don Lemon did something like that. That's astounding.
Well, he didn't intend it that way. He wanted to be there so he could break the news of and show, you know, this happening. And, so it was all planned. It was all staged. Yeah. And, you know, I suspected that. And then I saw the video on Yahoo News, and it shows the planning and how he set up with his camera crew to come in afterwards. And they parked away from the building so nobody would be seen. And, it's just, people need to see this so they can see what went into this attack and use that to say, not from standing in the pulpit looking out, what can I do to protect the church, but standing in the parking lot looking at the building saying, how would I attack this church? And then proceeding to learn how to protect it with that in mind. That's the best way to proceed.
Yeah, it's like people are trained when they're work, if there's a mass shooter in your workforce,
mm-hmm.
how you're trained to defend against that.
Yeah.
What objects do you have to throw at them? Or if you see them in the parking lot, you accelerate your vehicle to ramming speed and you run them over.
And that happened just recently. Just last month, there was a case like that. Somebody saw the individual in the parking lot, saw them getting out with their vehicle with a weapon. And that's exactly what they did. They accelerated and they rammed the person, and they ended up saving lives.
That's what we're taught to do.
Yes, exactly. So, well, this could be an interesting year. The left is not happy, and with the fraud that we're seeing that these people are connected to, billions of dollars, and that's just what we know about so far.
Right.
How much more is out there that we don't know about?
Yep.
They're not going to let go of that lightly. You know, how many times has there been a movie or a television program where the plot centered around somebody killing somebody or whatever over a sum of money, $1 million or $100,000 or something like that? Well, we're talking billions.
Exactly.
Billions. There's so much money involved. You know, somebody was said erroneously, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, but it's not. It's the love, or I'm sorry, that money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is correct. The root of all evil. And,
exactly.
You know, money in and of itself is not evil, but nope. The love of it. And that's what prompts people to do the things that they do.
Just so, like power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I could repeat the word there. Yes, absolutely. Hey, Jim, I appreciate you calling in. I know we're coming up on the break here, but
appreciate you.
Thank you. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying. And thanks for mentioning about the Byrna, and it's spelled B-Y-R-N-A, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking B-U-R at the first when you first said it, and that's what was putting me in the wrong direction. But yeah, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna Less Lethal Defense Pistols.
Yeah, and the Roosevelt book by Brett Baer.
Yes, the Roosevelt book, America to the Rescue, the American Spirit, right? Or to Rescue the American Spirit.
Correct.
Yeah, by Brett Baer. I am going to look for that. I like reading about Teddy Roosevelt, so I'm going to have to look for that book. So thank you so much. Okay. Appreciate that.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless and stay in the fight there, and appreciate your prayers as well. So God bless. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. What do we got left before the break?
About 3.5 minutes.
Oh, about 3.5 minutes. Well, let's get Terry on here from Canada, and that way we can get him on. We'll get to chatting here, and then we can go into the break and hold Terry over. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hi, we've been busy tonight. Lots to talk about. So,
yeah, that's for sure. I always stand up for Donald Trump.
Amen. Appreciate that, and appreciate your prayers for him. So,
yeah. You know, I might not agree with everything that he talks about, but, you know, I tell people, you know, like when he went into Venezuela, like he had to do that. And he must have been given the right to do that, or he wouldn't have done it.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people are safer now. Yeah, and I would dare say that some of the, because I know you're in Canada. I'm sure Canada's had some problem with some of the fentanyl deaths and things like that, like we've had in America.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be going down because, well, the same boats that were heading out of Venezuela, they were headed north. They're not heading north anymore. They were heading down to the bottom of the sea. So that's cutting off the supply to North America, which includes United States and Canada. And so it's a benefit there. And, of course, when you look at Greenland, that looks like something's going to take place there. In fact, the United States has several territories like Guam, American Samoa, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands. But we have something else that this might be what they need for Greenland. We have protectorates like Palau and the Federated States of Micronesia. American flag flies over them. They use American money. But they're pretty much self-governing.
And not only that, but what's going on with Alberta?
Oh, what's happening with Alberta?
Aren't they like a meeting for or voting on trying to secede from Canada?
Terry, have you information on that?
I've heard that. That's not the first time I've heard
that. I've seen where, you know, like Quebec had talked about, you know, going, and Alberta is not one of the more populated provinces, though, is it?
No, a lot of people still there, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think because, you know, you've got Ontario and Quebec and all that, you know, big population center around the Great Lakes and then out on the West Coast. I don't know. I hadn't actually seen that. So thanks, Kenny. Maybe we'll find out something more there. It's going to be interesting. You know, I'm praying because, you know, you just look on a globe and you can see how important Greenland is to the security of Canada and the United States and Northern Europe. It really is. And I think it's just a matter of time that something's going to be done there, and it'll be the benefit of everybody. But Terry, if you'll hold on, we've got another half hour to go in the program. Short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our number is 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can read some articles that I have there and listen to past programs. And you can also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Excuse me. And I just wanted to jump back to our caller here tonight. We were talking with Terry, and I know we're quickly running through the clock here tonight, and I was going to ask Terry a couple questions, too. He usually calls in with some questions, but I was going to try and get Terry, I was going to try and get your thoughts on something. But while we were there in the break, Kenny had brought up something about Alberta, and I guess on January the 2nd, Elections Alberta approved a citizen initiative petition titled a referendum relating to Alberta independence, and they've got until May the 2nd to collect 177,732 signatures, which is, I guess, 10% of the voters from the 2023 election, in order to trigger the referendum. There is an opposition petition from a group, Alberta Forever Canada, asking if the province should remain Canadian, a part of Canada, and they had gathered by late 2025 456,000 petitions, and the polling shows that as of January this month, the separatist movement is growing, but it remains the minority view. 31% of Albertans support independence, up from 22% in 2023, but 62% remain opposed. So,
right,
kind of interesting.
So I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
Alberta separated from Canada anytime soon.
Yeah, and it would be difficult in a sense, I would think, as a separate country on its own, because it's landlocked, because what is it? It's just to the, it's got what, British Columbia to the west, right? So it doesn't touch the ocean. And then of course the the Northwest Territories up to the north.
Yeah.
So it borders. Oh, here it is. It borders Montana on the south. So it would be a completely landlocked country if it was an independent state. So they would have to go through either the United States or Canada to access the oceans.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some of the problems that the Albertans have is that the oil prices, you know, unfairly taxed and restricted by federal policies like carbon pricing and pipeline issues, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're not too happy about, a lot of people are not too happy about that.
Is it Alberta that has a lot of the tar sands, the oil sands, I should say?
I believe it's Calgary, if I remember, because there used to be a boom in Calgary at one time.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I don't understand all the politics of that.
Okay.
Apparently, they put the stop to that in 1989, I think it was.
Yeah.
Had the boom, because I went to Calgary at that time.
Yeah, because the formation with the oil, I think it extends down into the state. So I guess Calgary in the southern part of Alberta.
In the middle of Alberta, yeah.
Oh, okay, so heading
closer to Vancouver, I guess.
Yeah, so this would be something that'd be interesting to see where it goes. You would think that it would make more sense if they were tied with, like, you know, a couple more provinces or something. I don't know. It's you get a lot of talk with this, but we'll see what happens. So certainly pray for our neighbors up north. So,
I don't think anything's going to happen out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not too concerned about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like every time that Quebec has talked about separating, it always falls through one way or another. So,
I'd say there's a lot of corporate, there's one big problem is that there are a lot of corporate greed. I always say that.
Uh-huh.
One of my sayings.
Yeah.
It's corporate greed.
Yeah. So, but at any rate, I wanted to get to something here that I was kind of hoping to mention because of time-wise, because it's just happening,
right.
and kind of get your thoughts, as because I know you pay attention to a lot of what's going on in the States, and it's always good to get somebody outside of the States' opinion on this too. But I got a question for you, and I think I'll pose it to Kenny as well, because, you know, kind of get a panel discussion here, okay? And this might sound silly, but I have a question. It's a very simple question. I'll give you, Terry, the first answer to it. Can men get pregnant?
No.
All right. He says no. Kenny, can men get pregnant?
Well, can you define what a man is?
Well,
what does pregnant even mean?
I asked that question because just this past week, I'm trying to think. I want to say it was Thursday, but on the 14th, this is just on the 14th, okay? There was a discussion. Senator Josh Hawley, who's from Missouri, Republican senator from Missouri, at the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, Senate Judiciary Committee, this is at the national level. You would think that the people involved know what they're talking about. And they had an expert witness by the name of Dr. Nisha Verma, who's an OBY or OBGYN doctor, right? Now, Kenny, I'm sorry, Terry, when I asked you, can men get pregnant, you said?
Absolutely not.
And Kenny was said, depends on the difference, right?
I want to know what your definition of a man is. I mean, well, do we even know what pregnant means?
Let's go to an expert witness, okay? This is an expert witness. So this is clip 1A. We're going to listen. Senator Josh Hawley wanted to know the answer to this question at a U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. He asked her if men can get pregnant. Listen to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since you bring it up, why don't we just start there? Dr. Verma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
I hesitated there because I wasn't sure where the conversation was going or what the goal was. I mean, I do take care of patients with different identities. I take care of many women. I take care of people with different identities. And so that's where I paused. I think... I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
Again, the reason I paused there is I'm not really sure what the goal of the question is.
The goal is just to establish a biological reality. You just said a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
I take care of people with many identities, but
can men get pregnant?
Many women that can get pregnant. I do take care of people that don't identify as women. That
can men get pregnant?
Again, as I'm saying,
let me just remind you what you testified to a moment ago. Science and evidence should control, not politics. Can men get pregnant? You're a doctor, I think.
Science and evidence should guide medicine.
Tell us that men can get pregnant? Biological men, can they get pregnant?
I also think yes-no questions like this are a political tool.
No, yes-no questions are about the truth, doctor. Let's not make a mockery of this proceeding. This is about science and evidence, and I'm asking you. You know, the United States Supreme Court just heard arguments yesterday at great length on this question. This is not a hypothetical question. This is not theoretical. It affects real people in their real lives. And you're here as an expert, called by the other side as an expert, and you've been telling us that you follow, right, you're a doctor, and you follow the science and the evidence. So I just want to know, based on the science, can men get pregnant? That's a yes or no question. It really is, I think.
I think you're trying to reduce the complexity of a lot.
I'm not. I'm trying to get, it's not complex. I'm trying to get to an answer, and I'm trying to test, frankly, your veracity as a medical professional and as a scientist. Can men get pregnant?
I think you're also conflating male and female with...
No, I'm not conflating male and female. They're two different things. There's biological men, and there's biological women. And I want to know, can men get pregnant?
What you were talking about is biological...
You're not going to answer my question.
Biological males.
This isn't hard, doctor. Can men get pregnant? Yes or no?
I would be more than happy to have a conversation with you that is not coming from a place of trying to be polarized and push...
I'm not trying to be polarizing. I'm trying to ask... I think it is extraordinary that we are here in a hearing about science and about women... And for the record, it's women who get pregnant, not men.
I mean, that's common sense, isn't it? And this is an expert witness.
Expert
who could not, or maybe would not, answer the question. Now, that was a little long, and it was the first part of that, as he's grilling. We had a second part to that, and where he follows up and just... You can hear the exasperation in his voice.
I was getting exasperated just listening to it.
And, you know, I wanted it because even though it's a little long, because you can just see the repetitive question and the repetitive denial or refusal to answer to just kind of deflect the entire thing. A woman of science. And he even gave her an out when he said, I'm talking about biological men and biological women. She could have at least said, well, no, of course, biological men can't get pregnant. And she refused to even do that. Do you have the second part of that clip there? We'll go ahead and do that.
We are here about the safety of women and science that shows that this abortion drug causes adverse health events in 11% of cases. That's 22 times greater than the FDA label, another fact you haven't acknowledged. And yet you won't even acknowledge the basic reality that biological men don't get pregnant. There's a difference between biological men and biological women. I don't know how we can take you seriously and your claims to be a person of science if you won't level with this on this basic issue. I thought we were past all of this, frankly. I can't believe we're still here talking about this.
I am a person of science, and I'm also someone here who's here to represent the complex experiences of my patients, and I don't think polarized language or questions serve that goal. I don't think they serve the American
people. It is not polarizing to say that there is a scientific difference between men and women, and I want this to be clear and for the record. It is not polarizing to say that women are a biological reality and should be treated and protected as such. That is not polarizing. That is truth. It is also, by the way, the United States Constitution, which offers unique protections to women in a variety of circumstances as women. And your refusal to recognize women as women and men as men is deeply corrosive to science, to public trust, and yes, to constitutional protections for women as women. And I think it's extraordinary that you would sit here and advance a political agenda that has been thoroughly discredited and rejected by the American people in this forum. And I'm glad we had this exchange because it is exceptionally clarifying. It is also in many ways quite depressing. I see that my time has nearly expired. I just want to thank the other witnesses for being here. Thank you for protecting women and children. Thank you for your valiant efforts. Thank you for following the science. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this hearing.
Valiant efforts indeed. I mean, this is what we're up against, people who deny reality. I mean, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 5:2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. I mean, biological males, biological females. They mentioned, because in the overall of the hearing, they're talking about the abortion drug. I wonder if the good doctor in her practice prescribes abortion drugs to biological men who think that they're women. That would be interesting. I don't want to go into the details too much, but how does an OBY or OBGYN doctor treat a biological male who comes into her office complaining that he or claiming to be a man and wanting a health checkup?
She prescribes him crazy pills.
Well, she should, but I think the doctor needs crazy
pills.
That's
how you would. I mean, logically speaking, that would be.
Terry, we got you as an outsider looking at the United States Senate as a Canadian. Can you believe the United States Senate is going back and forth with somebody like this?
They need to see psychologists, psychiatrists or something.
I think you're right. I agree with you. Either one of you, did this change your opinion? Can men get pregnant?
Well, what is pregnant?
Now, I wanted to do this because this is going on this past week, and Terry, I know you probably had a question. I'm sure we'll get to maybe next week because we're going to run out of time here. Yeah. But I wanted to hit this kind of while it's germane, because at the same time this U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee was going on, we have over in the United States Supreme Court a series of hearings to look at some cases dealing with allowing or not allowing biological males to participate in women's sports. You know, a guy, a mediocre performer in male sports, so one day he claims to be a woman, and now he becomes an outstanding woman athlete. And so some states have banned that, rightly so. And so the ACLU had a lawyer there, and she was being grilled by Justice Alito, who was asking her, and this is going along the same lines of what we were just listening to, what does it mean to be a boy or a girl? And so we'll go ahead and play that clip.
Just go back to, let me go to some basics. Do you agree that a school may have separate teams for a category of students classified as boys and a category of students classified as girls?
Yes, Your Honor.
If it does that, then is it not necessary for there to be, for equal protection purposes, if that is challenged under the Equal Protection Clause, an understanding of what it means to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what is that definition for equal protection purposes? What does it mean to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman?
Sorry, I misunderstood your question. I think that the underlying enactment, whatever it was, the policy, the law, we'd have to have an understanding of how the state or the government was understanding that term to figure out whether or not someone was excluded. We do not have a definition for the court.
Did you catch that? This is the ACLU lawyer, a supposedly educated, intelligent person, being asked about having separate sports for boys and girls. She agreed to that. And she agreed to the second part of that about, you know, protect and all that and having, you know, some kind of, definition for who's on which. And then he asked what the definition is. She just says, we have no definition. Okay. Terry, we'll ask the panel question again. Terry, is there a difference? I'll just shorten it. Is there a difference between boys and girls?
Absolutely.
Kenny, is there a difference between boys and girls?
How would you define the word difference?
Next, we'll have him asking what the definition of the word is.
What is a question?
But, you know, I didn't get any of the clips from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. I probably should have, but I did go back and get one from the past when she was being considered as a Supreme Court justice. And she was famously asked by Senator Marsha Blackburn. This is back in March of 2022. She was asked what a woman is. And it's kind of interesting to hear her response here. And this really colors what we're seeing in the Supreme Court and this ACLU lawyer. It really helps you understand where they're coming from. Go ahead.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law, and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not...
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
You know, that's the type of education that the ACLU lawyer had. That's the kind of education that Dr. Verma had. All right, Terry. What is a woman?
Female.
A female. Yeah, it's a complicated thing. We know what a woman is, right? I mean, if you were walking down the street and you saw two people walking down the street, would you be able to it was a couple. Would you be able to reasonably determine which was the male and which was the female? Generally speaking.
generally speaking, unless they're transgender.
Yeah, but I mean, for most part,
even then, you can tell.
If you were out at the beach, for instance, or something like that, generally speaking, could you, Kenny,
yeah, you can tell.
You're a married man.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between women and men? Would you recognize a woman?
Most likely, yes.
I've got one up on both of you. I am a biologist. I have a biology degree.
Oh, and so why are you asking us?
Well, you know, Ketanji Brown should ask me. I guess I could have educated her. A woman would be a human being with a double X chromosome. How's that?
Oh.
It doesn't have a Y chromosome. Oh, this is what I wish I had, and I know we're running out of time quickly here, but Ketanji Brown Jackson coined a new phrase. It's cisgender, or cisginger. She meant to say cisgender. Cisginger. Now, when I was in England, they would refer to people with red hair as gingers.
Yeah.
Right? Do they do that in Canada, Terry?
I'll say that again.
Somebody with red hair. Do Canadians use the term a ginger? They call him a ginger, a redhead?
No, I've never heard of that.
When I was in Britain, I spent 3 years in Britain, and they would refer to redheads as gingers. Oh, he's a ginger or she's a ginger. And so when Senator Ketanji Brown Jackson made this claim about gingers, the internet was flooded with pictures of redheads saying, here's another cisginger. Here's another cisginger. Oh, that one's a transginger because she dyes her hair red.
Not a natural redhead. Transginger.
Transginger. But you know, even though I'm sure she did mean to her, in her favor, she did mean to say cisgender, just misspoke. But think about that. The word prefix cis, C-I-S dash, was put on there to make normal men and women look like they're not normal. Cis male, cis female, so you're no different than trans male or trans female, trans men, trans women, cis men, cis women, because they're trying to blur the distinction. God created us men and women. Hey, Terry, thanks for playing along with us here and joining in on that. We'll get to some of your questions again next week, but this is what we're facing in the United States, in Canada, over in Britain, over in Europe, around the world. And it's because of a departure from the Word of God. We've got to get back to the Bible. That's the solution. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for our callers tonight. Thanks, Kenny, for your help. And God bless. Join us next time.
You just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit the website livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at Late Night Live with PastorAl.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday at 7. You can connect with Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 p.m. and right here again next Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight for Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.